Welcome to Naracast Tech Briefing.
Today, we are looking at a very specific shift happening at the Frontier AI Labs.
Right. We've spent months tracking how these companies optimize models for general agentic coding. But this week, both Anthropic and Google physically split their offerings.
They are drawing a hard line between public developer models and restricted, heavily gated cyber variants.
The timing is impossible to ignore. We have major releases from both of them hitting almost simultaneously.
We've also got some updates on Mistral's privacy defaults and a subscription bump for LWN coming up later.
Anthropic announced Claude Fable 5.1 and Claude Mythos 5.1 on September 1st. They are positioning these as frontier models for complex reasoning and knowledge work.
The benchmark they are highlighting is Terminal Bench Science 0.1. Fable 5.1 scored 52.6% on it,
which is a massive jump. Fable 5 only hit 24.7% on that exact same benchmark, and even Opus 5 was sitting at 29%.
It is, but the pricing structure tells you how they actually expect developers to use this. The base token cost is still high. You're looking at $10 per million input tokens and $50 per million output tokens.
But the cash read price is where the math changes. They dropped it by 75%. It is now down to 25 cents per million tokens.
That makes total sense for agentic workflows. If you have an autonomous coding agent, it is constantly rereading the entire context window of your codebase on every single loop.
Exactly. Anthropic says that specific price cut reduces total typical workload costs by about 25%. And for heavy agentic tasks, it drops the cost by up to 45%.
Which brings us to Mythos 5.1. This is where the split happens.
Right. Mythos 5.1 shares the exact same underlying technology as Fable 5.1, but it retains the full, unrestricted cyber and biology capabilities.
And you can't just sign up for an API key to get it. It is only available through trusted access programs.
Anthropic is trying to balance this dual-use risk. They want the enterprise coding money, but they clearly don't want a public model writing zero-day exploits or synthesizing pathogens.
I do wonder how they enforce the boundaries of that trusted access program in practice. Vetting researchers is one thing, but tracking how the outputs are used downstream is a lot harder.
They are making some moves on tracking, actually. Fable 5.1 outputs now include machine-readable watermarks.
Is that for the EU AI Act?
It is. They explicitly stated the watermarking is to comply with EU transparency rules. It's a clear signal that regulatory alignment is becoming just as central to these releases as the benchmark scores.
The very next day, September 2nd, Google announced Gemini 3.8 Flash and Gemini 3.8 Flash Cyber. This is their third Flash model release in a six-week span.
The rapid-fire cadence is wild. At this point, the minor version numbers feel more like continuous deployment tags than distinct architectural generations.
They are keeping the price locked, though. Gemini 3.8 Flash retains the 75 cents per million input tokens and $3.75 per million output tokens pricing.
And they committed to holding those rates through December 31st, 2026.
The performance claims for 3.8 Flash are interesting. On the Deep SWE V1.1 Long Horizon Software Engineering benchmark, Google says it outperforms larger, more expensive frontier models. But it does that by executing extra reasoning steps and iterative tool calls. It's not necessarily smarter on a single zero-shot prompt. It just loops faster and cheaper until it finds the fix. Which mirrors exactly what Anthropic is trying to enable with their cash price drop. The industry consensus right now is that cheap, fast loops beat big, slow inference.
And just like Anthropic, Google released a restricted counterpart, Gemini 3.8 Flash Cyber.
This is a specialized security variant built specifically for autonomous vulnerability discovery and patching. They paired it with a harness called CodeMender.
Access is completely gated. Google launched the Fairwind program to manage it.
You have to be a vetted government agency, a critical infrastructure operator, or a trusted software maintainer to get anywhere near it.
It is fascinating to see the two biggest labs arrive at the exact same product structure on the same week. A cheap, fast public model for general agents, and a high-margin, heavily restricted model for the security sector.
It makes you wonder if they are seeing things in the red teaming of these models that convince them the general public shouldn't have access to the unconstrained weights.
Or they just realized government security contracts pay a lot better than individual developer subscriptions.
Mistral updated its help documentation to confirm that user input and output data on their free-tier consumer products, like LeChat, are included in model training by default.
You can still opt out manually in the admin panel settings, but you have to actively go find the toggle.
If you are on a paid commercial tier, like an enterprise or team plan, or using the paid API, your data is excluded from training by default.
It aligns them with OpenAI and Anthropic, but it definitely complicates their image as the privacy-first European alternative.
LWN is raising its subscription prices starting September 15th, 2026.
It's a roughly 20% increase, which they say just matches cumulative consumer price inflation since their last adjustment back in 2022.
The new tiers range from the starving hacker at $6 a month up to the maniacal supporter at $55. They've run on a reader-funded model since 2002 without ads. It's a tough environment for independent technical journalism right now, so the bump makes sense.
Over on GitHub, a user filed a feature request for Claude Code asking Anthropic to just make a chat button in-game while running it in VS Code.
The best part is the error log they attached. It shows a telemetry-safe error with a virtual message list desync.
It's a good reminder of the weird UI edge cases you hit when you try to shoehorn an agentic assistant directly into a terminal environment.
Another feature request? This one for the retro software Big Mac Lock. A user wants to add seconds to the clock layout. They are setting up a Macintosh SE30 display for an upcoming exhibit at VCF Midwest and want the seconds tick to make the timing accuracy more visceral for the crowd.
Balancing modern information density on a compact 1980s Macintosh screen is a specific type of design constraint.
That's our briefing for today.
Catch you tomorrow.